Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. This is the word of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time. Time in which we hear your word. And Father, we pray that just like what your word says, that our faith will grow, that we'll be more sanctified, and that we'll be more free from sin and Satan in this world. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, his gospel will be proclaimed. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We have here a truly amazing verse. And you will see why I say that as we study this verse together. Blessed are the pure in heart. In our religion, it is important that we know and understand the doctrines. And it is equally important our actions in our lives. But there is something that is yet more important than all of these things. It is our heart. The state of our heart. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7b says, For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. No matter how much you know the doctrines, no matter how good you are outwardly, the real issue is your heart. The heart. It is the center of the person. It is the center of who I am. It is where all of my decisions are made. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, For as he thinks within himself, as he thinks within his heart, so he is. The problem of man is that his heart is not pure. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick, or in King James Version, desperately wicked. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Thus, the flood comes. This world says that the problem, our problem is our environment. If we could make this world a better place, then everything will be okay. But remember, remember the first sin that we see in the Bible. Where did it happen? In the Garden of Eden. In paradise. There is no better environment. And yet, Adam and Eve sinned. The problem is the wicked heart. Let us go to Mark chapter 7 together. Verse 18. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. Thus, he declared all foods clean." And he was saying, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murder, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." The problem is inside the heart. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 9 says, "Who is able to say, 'I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin'?" Obvious answer is no one. Thus our Lord says this in Matthew 23 verse 27, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." And our Lord says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Now, what does this mean, pure in heart? We could look at it in two ways. First, pure in heart. The heart that is pure is cleansed of all defilement. That's obvious definition, so I'm not going to go into explain that to you. But the second way that we are able to look at this, we get a hint from James chapter 4 verse 8b. It says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Here we see that pure in heart is the opposite of double-mindedness. So pure in heart means single-mindedness. Psalm 24 verse 3 and 4, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully." So, the pure in heart, there is no hypocrisy. Psalm 86 verse 11b says, unite my heart. Unite my heart to fear your name. So pure in heart. Union of my heart. One mind. Undivided heart. That's what it means. Undivided heart. And with that heart, you love God. That's what Bible, how Bible defines it. People with impure hearts, then, they have double-minded. But the Bible is very clear. We cannot serve two masters. We must, with undivided heart, love God. But sinners do not have pure hearts. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Love your God with all your heart. But we know that we are not able to do this. Sinners are not able. No one is able. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 41 talks about uncircumcised heart. It is corrupted. It is wicked. It does not love God. That's the hearts of the sinners. Not only it does not love God, but it cannot love God. That's how wicked it is. So Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 23 says, but this people, God says, this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. So that is the judgment of God. This people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. Jeremiah 18 verse 12 says, but they will say, it is hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. And this is what sinner says to himself. I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to obey. I'll just do whatever I want, whatever my evil heart desires. Hosea chapter 10 verse 2, their heart is faithless. No faith. King James Version says, their heart is divided. They worshiped the idol. And you and I were not any better than this. Because God says that greed is idolatry. Yes, all sinners truly deserve the eternal judgment of hell. Bible says the cursed is the man whose heart turns away from the Lord. Cursed is the man whose heart turns away from the Lord. And this is the state of sinful world. And you and I once belonged to that world. But again, here, I came to preach the gospel, the good news. God did not leave the mankind in that condition. He promised the deliverance from that. He promised a new heart. And there are many, many places that he promises this in the Old Testament. Let us look at a few. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 6. Look at what God says. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants. He will circumcise our heart to do what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. This is promise of our Lord, that he will circumcise our heart so that we may love with the undivided heart. Jeremiah chapter 24. Verse 7. I, God, I will give them a heart to know me. For I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. God says, I will give them a heart to know God, and that they will come to him with their whole heart, undivided heart. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 33, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Unlike the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, they were written on the stone. But God says, in the new covenant, I will write my laws in their hearts. Jeremiah 32, verse 39. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. Again, God promises this heart, a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers so that you will be my people and I will be your God. Very clearly written. God's promise, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit. Spirit of God. Holy Spirit living in the hearts of his people. Hosea chapter 11, one more. Verse 8. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. Do you hear what he says? Brothers and sisters, I want you to see this. That in loving you, God loves you with an undivided heart, a pure heart. He loves you with a pure heart, undivided heart. With all of his heart, he loves you. And that compassion is kindled. It's like a fire in his heart. Well, in our verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, our Lord Jesus Christ proclaims that the promise of God, that those promises of new heart is fulfilled in him. And that is how I want all of you to see this verse. Jesus is proclaiming that day has come. His promise is fulfilled. The new age has come. Thus he says, blessed are the pure in heart. New age, new era has begun. Because blessed are what? Pure in heart. In the Old Testament, the cleanness, the pure, is all about outside. Outside, outward cleanness. So many rituals, so many sacrifices. That was the Old Testament. That's why in the Old Testament, it's not about bless our pure in heart. But now that day has come, because God is giving a new heart and he is sending his Holy Spirit to live in those hearts that he gives. Contrasted with the Old Testament, now, blessed are the pure in heart. Of course, even in the Old Testament, the true God's people, they have pure heart because of the work of the Holy Spirit. But in redemptive historical flow, God's promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All those rituals and all those sacrifices could not wash away sins and could not make sinners their heart pure. But our Lord Jesus Christ, who is pure in heart, he came as a man and bore our sins and died upon that cross for us and shed his precious blood. And with that blood, God has cleansed our hearts. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 through 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer sprinkling, those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh. See, if those blood of those animals can cleanse the outside flesh in the Old Testament, then how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now his blood cleansed even our conscience. Jesus is the only one who is truly pure in heart. He loved his Father in heaven with undivided heart. But here in our verse, the gospel is given. Now you and me, we are now called to participate in this glorious life of our Lord Jesus Christ, life of a pure heart. undivided heart that loves God. He cleansed our hearts with His blood, Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. 1 John 1:7-9, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 5:26-27, so that He, Jesus, might sanctify her, meaning the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. This is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the pure heart is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the work of our God. I'm not telling you to go out and try to produce a pure heart. You can't do it. If I tell you to just go out and produce a pure heart or make yourself pure on your own, that is not gospel. That's a condemnation. Because you can't do it. You know you can't. You and I, we know how well we know that our hearts are divided. With the same heart, we love God, but we also love this world. Even though we are not able to serve two masters, but when we see our lives right now, that is exactly what we see. But this is not to be, brothers and sisters. The salvation of God has come to you. He has given you this pure heart. And you must believe. You must understand. You must believe that you are the pure in heart. Because that is exactly what your Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. See, our hope is not in us, or I should say, our hope is not our own strength or our own ability. Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. This is your hope. Do you understand? God has already given you this new heart. He has already started that good work in you. And the promise is that He will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. This is your hope. And here is this amazing verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See God. Why does God give you and me pure heart? Why does God give us pure heart? Why? So that we may see Him. Seeing God, this is our purpose. This is the purpose of Christianity. I don't know, this world, even when they see some dumb movie star, they get so excited. Maybe this perspective of seeing God doesn't excite you. But this is the purpose of Christianity. For this, you and I live. Even in the Old Testament, the people of God saw God. Exodus 24, verse 9 and 10, then the Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw God. They saw the God of Israel, and under his feet were appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, Moses, he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Moses, if you read the book of Exodus, how he wanted to see the glory of God. This is the ultimate desire of God's people. This is the ultimate desire of you. Seeing God. But Old Testament people saw God in shadow. But in Jesus Christ, we see that God, that very God, came to us. God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of God, begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. God came. And his people are beholding his glory. In John chapter 14, verse 9b, Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Now the time will come when you and I, we will be able to see our God face to face. Isaiah 52 verse 8, listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. That is already fulfilled in his first coming. But he will completely consummate it in his second coming. It's so beautiful news that we will be able to see him face to face when he comes. Psalm 17 verse 15 says, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. We are not afraid of death. No, we even welcome death. Because when we die physically here and wake up in the other world, we're able to behold our Lord's face. You know, even your good friend, if you haven't seen that person for a little while, you miss that person. You want to see him or see her. Do you miss your Lord Jesus Christ? Is that your ultimate desire to see him face to face? Because when that happens, we know that everything is well. Everything is okay. No matter how we may suffer here, no matter how we may be persecuted here, no matter how you are going through so much problems or whatever, as soon as you see his face, they're all gone. Misery is over. He is our solution to everything. As soon as we see him, heaven is a place. Heaven is the place where we see God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 and 4, there will be no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, understand that that is already our present spiritual heavenly reality. Through his word and with our faith, we meet God and we see God even now. Even as we are worshiping our God right now, where do you have come? Whom are you worshiping right now? Who is receiving your worship even now? To whom did you come? Even as we are worshiping our God right now, we have come to him. We are gathered in his presence. And as you see yourself in his presence, standing and beholding his face with your faith through the word, what has happened? I want you to understand what that means. It means that we are the pure in heart. If you are standing in front of God right now spiritually, then you are the pure in heart. For anything unclean, for anything unclean, cannot enter heaven, cannot come to God. Even as your faith and the word tells you that you have come to God, that you are standing in front of him and worshiping him, you realize you are the pure in heart. Otherwise, you cannot be there. Revelation 21:27, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 22:15, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Ephesians 2:6 says, God has raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see yourself with Christ in that heavenly places, seated at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ. And realize that God has cleansed your hearts. He has given you a new heart. You have come to God with a pure heart. You have come to God with a heart that has been cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what kind of heart thou you have now in Christ? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Philippians 4 verse 7, and peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus now lives in your heart. And your heart is filled with the peace of God. That's the kind of heart you have in Jesus Christ. Right now. Thus, I want you to understand that you cannot serve two masters anymore. That is not who you are. To love God and to love this world at the same time is to deny who you are, to deny what God has done for you. A pure heart has been given to you. Believe this, brothers and sisters. The prayer of the King David is now reality for you and for me. He said in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do you see how that prayer is fulfilled in you? That you are the fulfillment of that prayer. We must witness this reality in our lives. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy God, Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Romans 8, verse 13, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if you by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And even though this is the good news, the gospel, but some of you are sitting there and listening to this, and somehow it doesn't bring joy to you because you are not confident to live this life that God is calling you to live. That you know you can't do this because you see your heart divided. But brothers and sisters, listen very carefully to the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26, having cleansed her, the church, by the washing of water with the word. Acts chapter 15 verse 9, and he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. So how are we to do this? Word and faith. Because God cleanses our heart by faith and with the word. There's no other way, brothers and sisters. You must believe the word of God with your faith. God has given you a new heart, a pure heart, and you must believe it. You must witness that reality in your life. And the only way that you and I are able to do this is through the word and faith that comes from the word. Let us all turn to 1 John. Chapter 3. Because even though you might say to yourself and to God that your heart is divided, but because the truth is that God has given you this new heart, so I know that all of you desire to live this life. And this is what God is telling us how we are to do this. Now remember the word and faith. But here's another verse that God has given to us so that we may live this. We may be able to live this life. Truly live it. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, the hope of heaven. And if you go down one more verse, chapter 3, verse 3, God says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies Himself just as He is pure. If you have the hope of seeing our Lord Jesus Christ face to face, then you already have pure heart. And you will purify yourself. You are the pure in heart, and you will see your God. The hope of heaven, the hope of seeing God is the hope of heart that is pure. If you have pure heart, then the desire of that pure heart is to see God. And if you have this hope fixed, Jesus Christ, He comes. And you will be able to see Him face to face. If you have this hope, Bible promises you will purify yourself. Just like the name of our church, Christ and heaven. This is the key. I pray for you and pray for me that all of us in this church will have this hope that their eyes are focused on Christ so that we will live this life of purifying ourselves. Looking at this way, this is not that hard. Because we do want to see our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our ultimate desire to see Him. And God promises that we will purify ourselves. Let's trust Him. Let's believe. Psalm 16 verse 8, I have set the Lord continually before me. And this is how we live. We set our Lord Jesus Christ continually before me, before us. And we see Him face to face, spiritually, forever and ever. Do you remember Psalm 24? Who may stand in the holy place? Answer was, the pure in heart. But according to Psalm 24 verse 6, if you go down a few more verses, the pure in heart are who seek God's face. And let's seek His face every single moment of our lives. As soon as you get up in the morning, let's seek His face. Until the day, until the time that you go to sleep. Set Him continually before you. Through the Word and faith, we see Him now, and we'll see Him when He comes back. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you see how beautiful He is? How glorious He is? But I want you to also see how beautiful and glorious you are in Him. And with this pure heart that He gave us, let us unite our hearts so that our hearts are not divided. With that heart that He gave us, let us love Him with all of our hearts. And we wait. We wait eagerly for that day when He comes. to gather us into His presence physically. And we will see Him forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh Father, Your grace is just truly amazing. That You love us with undivided heart. And You have given us undivided heart to love You. But Father, forgive us that we live our lives as if You did not give us that heart. But Father, You did. And let us believe. And let us witness that we have indeed that pure heart. And we shall see You. Now, through our faith, and in the glory, with our own eyes, forever and ever. Come quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.